Welcome to the podcast where heavy industrial industries meet the venture capital ecosystem, interviewing both thought-leading investors and pioneering founders to better understand the opportunities and challenges that lie ahead for digital industrial innovation. Your host is Ty Finley, and this is the Heavy Hitters Podcast.
Anna Farbarov joins us today from Los Angeles. Anna is the general manager of PepsiCo Labs. She founded Labs to be PepsiCo's emerging tech and innovation group with a focus on bringing cutting-edge solutions into PepsiCo. Prior to founding PepsiCo Labs, she was a senior executive in Israel's largest holding company, where she led investments and portfolio strategy. And prior to that, she held roles in finance and strategy at Procter & Gamble across commercial operations and innovation. She is also a venture partner at an early stage VC firm investing in deep tech solutions coming from academia and research. Well, Anna, I hope you're recovering from that blur of a week that we both had in the Vegas Manifest Supply Chain Conference. But thanks for joining and welcome to the Heavy Hitters.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, we always start with background.
Last week was indeed awesome.
Yeah, it was really well done. Shout out to Pam Simon and crew. And I think we both had a bunch of innovators we're working with just buzzing around. It was a lot of fun to see the energy. But we do start with introductions, and I gave some snippet, but give us that color commentary on journey and, you know, what led you to lead in PepsiCo's tech and innovation group.
Well, thank you so much. I think I'll try to start with what you will not read on my LinkedIn profile, which is I probably have the best job in the world. So my role is to work with some of PepsiCo's and the CPG industry in general, greatest leaders, best experts, and then with ambitious entrepreneurs and, you know, very impressive startups on the other hand, and try to bring them together so we can solve some of the industry's biggest problems. And to do that, we have developed a very pragmatic approach to innovation. So how do we really think, you know, results, business impact, and not just, you know, buzzwords and kind of, you know, fun time together, although that happens as well.
Absolutely. And we're going to dive more into the how you do that, because it is impressive how much structure you put around it. And I bet you do have a lot of fun working with a platform like Pepsi. You know, it's not a small company or anything like that. Yeah. So maybe to the point of Pepsi, let's set the stage for our listeners a little bit. I do think it's safe to say most everyone will know who Pepsi is and roughly what they do. But can you tell us a little bit more about PepsiCo Labs, you know, and why this group was in, you know, why it was created inside PepsiCo and the team's mandate to add value back to the parent company? And maybe if I could ask, as you set that up, maybe some would say, oh, Pepsi is a CPG company. How does that tie into this digital industrial ecosystem we chat about on this podcast? So let's clearly tie that mandate back into the Heavy Hitters ecosystem as well, if we could.
Perfect. I'll try to answer. If I don't come back, then please remind me. But I think many people know the brands, right? We manufacture and kind of sell some of the most iconic brands like Cheetos, Doritos, Lay's, Pepsi, Gatorade, etc. I think many people don't realize how vertically integrated we are. So we grow our own potatoes, and we are about 8% of the world's potatoes, which means we start at the agriculture, we start at the seed, and then move into, you know, shipping it with our own fleet. We own and operate one of the largest fleets in the world. We have every type of vehicle. We have, I think, close to 90,000 vehicles in North America alone. That's a massive number. And then moving into kind of manufacturing the product, warehouse fulfillment, distribution, we go directly to each and every store, customer, consumer, retail, insights, marketing, branding. So we cover the full breadth, what we would call seed to shelf. So literally from the potato seed all the way down to the consumer and customer shelves, that is all PepsiCo hands, all PepsiCo touch points. And what my team does, what we've developed, is a way to help optimize each and every step of the way. So we help with the businesses to either grow top line or improve operational effectiveness by bringing in those emerging technologies. So by partnering with startups, so finding the problems that could be best solved by emerging technologies and startups, we bring them into the company. We see if they work in a very quick pilot. So very kind of startup mindset. Let's just set up a bubblegum pilot to see if this even works in a real PepsiCo environment. And if yes, it does work, then we take this globally across the PepsiCo footprint, which is, you know, massive.
Absolutely. And, you know, it's quite interesting when folks say, hey, oh, there is an industrial supply chain in Pepsi. Of course, manufacturing the products. And a shout out from someone we both know, but if you haven't watched Flaming Hot on Disney Plus and seen how the Flaming Hot Cheeto story progressed, I had to give that a shout out. It's really good to tie both of these worlds together in some way. But And I wanted to also quickly tack on, you also make select investments out of that platform in startups that are aligned in strategic areas. Maybe just a quick hit, you know, why'd you add that onto the mandate as well?
So I think if you kind of look at the North Star or the main goal, we do what we do is to solve critical business needs, right? We do whatever it takes to solve it. And that can include working with later stage companies and just embedding them in, working with earlier stage companies, holding their hand and helping them develop the product. And for a select few that address the most strategic capabilities, if an investment can unlock additional value above and beyond a regular commercial agreement, then we know how to do that. We are not a CVC. We do not look at it from a financial perspective. We only look at the value this can deliver to the big PepsiCo machine and how can this address a critical need we have. So sometimes an investment makes more sense because that gives us to the table. We can influence product roadmap. We can influence geographical expansion. We can, you know, make sure that we have access to capacity, multiple reasons, but it happens a handful of times because with most of our solutions and startups, so just to give you kind of rough numbers, we do about 80 to 100 pilots a year, about half of them are successful. We would make a handful of investments. So one, two, three, low single digit number of investments a year, because those are the unique ones. Other than that, it doesn't reflect anything on the other solutions, right? They are all very valuable, but sometimes an investment will not have that additional benefit that we're looking to get.
Absolutely. Just another tool when appropriate. And that helps us set up, maybe going back a little more macro here. Lots of flavors of corporate innovation out there, internal accelerator programs, you know, CVCs, as you mentioned, corporate incubators, et cetera, as I'm sure you and your folks and our folks in the audience know well. So let's talk through more about PepsiCo Labs' unique model on how you do programmatically engage startups internally and how this structure allows for efficiency. Again, I mean, virtually every startup likely would try to find a way to work with Pepsi. So I'm sure you guys have to have processes for how you go through this. So the question here is, how does PepsiCo Labs connect and collaborate with startups? I think your website, it says the startups have a chance to, in your words, test your solutions in a real world environment alongside key decision makers, huge opportunity for them. And how do both the parent company and startups benefit from that partnership? If we could go a little bit further.
So I think if I go back to kind of where you started, right? So I think there are different corporate innovation models. There's no one size fits all. And I think we all do this for different reasons, right? Some CVCs are fully financial and they look at horizon kind of two and three technologies. Some are looking for solutions to complement their core business. Some are looking for, you know, awareness or branding or multiple reasons. PepsiCo, we do this to have critical business impact. And when we started roughly 5.5 years ago, our CEO Ramon at the time, he said, you know what, keep it simple. Don't get caught up in corporate bureaucracy, which we all know we have a lot as a big company. Stay close to the business. So make sure you are solving real problems and just move fast. So with that guidance, we went into doing a lot of trial and error for the first year. I mean, we spoke to every VC, every corporate innovation team we could get connected to. We spoke to startups, we spoke to PepsiCo leaders, we did a bunch of pilots, most of them failed. We just wanted to see what works, what doesn't work. We wanted to identify the touch points and the roadblocks that we'll need to address. And with that, we came to our model, which is, again, needs back, strategy back. What are the biggest problems? We ask the business, what do you need solved? Then with that, we go into the world. We are very voiceful with sharing our needs, because if you don't ask for help, how can other people come and help you? So we kind of share that with VCs and the whole community, and we are looking for their recommendations, either startups applying directly or VCs recommending companies. We get hundreds for those specific areas. We start filtering them until we find the 10, let's say 8 to 10, that are the most relevant for what we're trying to solve. It doesn't mean the others are not good enough. It just means there might not be the right fit for us right now. And with that, we go into quick pilots, and the kind of the approach we've developed cuts us through corporate bureaucracy very fast. We're able to set up those pilots in a matter of weeks because we engage with IT and InfoSec and procurement and legal and multiple corporate functions that usually are not, you know, they're not set up to work with startups. They're set up to work with the tech giants of the world. But we've developed unique labs or unique startup processes just to do it the right way, but do it fast. And that includes a governance model on top with a senior stakeholder to take fast decisions. So every month we would meet with a relevant SVP or EVP or whoever the business owner is, who is able to take a decision and then sign off on the scale up if it is successful, or remove roadblocks, or give us more guidance as needed. So how do we tie in that kind of corporate layer as well as the decision making and business expertise so we can just move fast? And you know what? We're expecting to fail. In the same kind of startup or ecosystem mindset, failing is fine as long as we do it fast and we don't waste time on kind of noodling on solutions that we know are not going to succeed, right? We want to move on fast. I'm sure the startups do not want to waste their time. So we assume that at least 50, 60% of the pilots that we do will fail, which is fine. But then we find the gold nuggets, right? We find the ones that are the most meaningful that will have the most impact on PepsiCo. And this is where we focus on scale up and kind of, you know, future engagement, right? So we build a partnership. We work with the big PepsiCo universe to embed them across the world in the different kind of geographies and business units.
Absolutely. Maybe to make it a little bit more tangible, are there any examples of a group that you've worked with that has come through that very curated piloting process, made it through the down select, and then you've seen that initial engagement be successful, and what then happens is that kind of scaling motion? Maybe it'd be helpful to just walk us through if there's an example on how that usually works out in practice.
Yeah, so I can share a few examples. If I look at, I mean, we operate from agriculture all the way to marketing, but since I guess most of the listeners will look at the world of operations, I can give the example, and we talked about them a lot, Augury, from preventive maintenance perspective.
Right.
That has been one of our, you know, success stories. It started with one, in I think it was Frankfurt East, so one manufacturing site, one line being monitored for preventive maintenance. For those who do not know, so Augury, they do preventive maintenance, right? They do kind of, they monitor critical equipment, and then they alert if something's about to break, and then they slot that into the maintenance window, right? And basically the business KPI we were trying to solve for was unplanned downtime. We were looking to reduce our unplanned downtime. You all know how disruptive that is to our operations. We started with one line, one manufacturing site. That was kind of the initial pilot. Then after a successful proof of concept, we went into a bigger pilot. Then we went into a bigger site. It took us about a whole year to analyze them, and we've compared them with two other competitors because we were not sure who's the best solution. We wanted to give them all the opportunity. Augury kind of were the top solution with the best results. And then a year after, we scaled them across almost 40 manufacturing sites, so 40 of our food sites across North America. The following year, we've expanded to beverages North America, and we are now working on expanding into Europe, Australia, Latin America. And then in parallel, we're working on additional use cases because we have this great partnership with Augury. Why not expand that to solve more problems? So we are looking into maintenance and process health. So moving from machine health to process health, we're looking at multiple things. As long as we share with them our future needs, they will be able to develop solutions for that. So it's a win-win. And we become one of their largest customers. So, and honestly, whoever PepsiCo works with, we become one of the largest customers because that's our sheer scale.
Absolutely. So just so I got the timestamp there, and they do have to have patience because it is a large organization. You're helping them navigate it. But a year to get that first step in the books, I think you said it was about 40 sites second year, and now moving into more broader year three, year four. So that ramp, though, it sounds like once you've picked, it's an incredible partnership as long as both sides are showing up for the value that you're both driving is what it sounds like.
Exactly. So I think the first hurdle to, for us to go through together is that successful pilot. Now, that can move fast or slow. It depends on the solution. Sometimes, AutoStore, which is an automated storage and retrieval system, the pilot is building one site. That took a year and a half.
Right.
Right. Just getting the pilot off the ground and then optimizing, making sure it runs well, et cetera. With marketing software solutions, you can set up a pilot in a week, maybe 2 weeks. So it depends on the solution. So once we get that hurdle, and obviously ops is more complex than some of our commercial solutions, then I think the second challenge is more on the startup side. Once you are successful and PepsiCo decided to scale, the startup need to move very, very fast to make sure they support that scale.
Right? Absolutely.
Many times it challenges and people, startup founders or startup executives, they think they can support that scale. Honestly, probably they've never seen or never worked with a company that big. And I'm not, we are big. We are the largest food company in North America. So even if they worked with big companies in the past, they did not work with PepsiCo Big. And that's kind of where they need to be able to support the ramp up. And believe me, scaling to 40 manufacturing sites in 1 year is not easy. It's not easy for us, let alone for a startup. So that was like big kudos for Augury for being able to do that.
Yeah, and I've even noticed it from, you know, we've worked together a lot with One Rail in the last mile delivery space. And the idea that, you know, large enterprise customers, you can go approach, you know, from the operations side of it, you should. But the idea that you have someone like you, Anna, and PepsiCo Labs who can really help shrink that learning curve and help that be in a more efficient engagement process as you hit that scaling has been a great partnership. So I definitely think that model is something that can accelerate, but it does take patience at the same time, right?
Yes, and I think this is one of the key roles we play as labs. We are the one point of contact, right? It's a big company, 340,000 employees by now. It's really hard to chase down the people that you need, and you need a lot of people. You need a lot of stakeholders from the business perspective, from corporate perspective, to help you succeed. So we are that one point of contact, and we bring the relevant leaders or experts to the table. We drive the right conversation, and we try to streamline so the pilot needs to work with, you know, one face, maybe two other faces, but definitely do not need to kind of run through the whole corporate structure and try to get the right person on the line.
Yeah, I lived it myself during my GE Ventures days. It can be an incredible one-stop shop to help focal a lot of discussions. So, well, let me move us forward here. I wanted to put us a little more tactically into what you're scouting for right now and some of our discussions recently helping catalyze this chat. Last mm-hmm. year, though, you and I were talking a lot about procurement. Specific innovation. And now in 2024, you've shared with me that a priority for PepsiCo Labs is finding breakthrough solutions that solve our manufacturing business needs, or your manufacturing business needs. Mm-hmm. Includes everything from frontline process automation, digitized quality systems, intelligent operations monitoring, sustainable manufacturing practice, et cetera. You guys do an awesome job sharing this. I believe a lot of that material is on your website, so I'll make sure I link that in the show notes. So first, maybe can you scope us in a little bit more? I know we talked briefly, but the breadth of PepsiCo's manufacturing operations, just to give someone the baseline, and then why the focus on manufacturing challenges now in 2024, as we've had a lot of discussion recently?
Yes, perfect. So, I mean, we touched that a bit. We manufacture everything by ourselves, right? So when you think of right now, this program is around the needs of our North American foods business, and we manufacture the tour, we manufacture the potato chips and the Cheetos and Doritos and even Quaker. And then the next scope will be for beverages, which runs a whole different manufacturing kind of, you know, ecosystem, because the way you manufacture beverages and manufacture foods is very different. And I think this is a big year for manufacturing because this is an area that we have not addressed in the last year. So the way PepsiCo Labs operate, we do about 8-ish programs a year. Each program is 8 to 10 startups that start a pilot, and each of them is around a different topic. So last month, we finalized the list for our procurement pilots. The one before that, at the end of 2023, we addressed warehouse automation and robotics. The one before that was around fleet and mobility. We had digital marketing, HR, and so on and so forth. So this year as well, we will have about 8 programs. Manufacturing is the one we are currently scouting for. So this is, I can probably officially announce the scouting here on the podcast.
Nice.
But that means that about 2 months from now, probably 2 months from now. So let's say April, May-ish, we are expecting to have a good solid list of, you know, a small number of 8 to 10 solutions that then we will go into pilot with. So that means we need to filter through hundreds of recommendations that I hope will start flowing in after we air this podcast. And my team's kind of really go, we have a very rigorous kind of 5-stage filtering process to find those gems or those golden nuggets. So that is what my team will focus on in the next few months until we find the ones that are the best fit for us.
I like it. Well, we got a lot of manufacturing people writ large in the audience. So maybe then the fun question, and you know, there's lots of themes to pick within the research you've released, but if I was to say maybe pick one on the equipment side, if we could generalize there, and then one on much more important, and this show, we will always say the human element, it's the most important part of any manufacturing process. Maybe one geared toward the human element side of it. What would be those two trends that you want to start scouting for, to put a finer point on for the audience as they're listening?
I think on the equipment side, I would say probably sustainable manufacturing. Sustainability and what we call PepsiCo Positive is a great focus for PepsiCo. We've made very large commitments that are also public. One of them is, for example, to decarbonize our fleet fully by 2040, and then kind of similar ones for our water and agro footprint, for regenerative ag, and then for manufacturing practices as well. So for that specific program, we're looking for anything that will help us better, so move our plants to an electrification so we're looking basically for alternative energy sources that we can either use or store. That will be kind of one focus. And then anything within that that will help us better predict energy management, better utilize our energy, any other alternatives for low energy usage. And on the flip side of that, water. Because we use a lot of water on our snacks lines, right? The potato comes in, it needs to be washed, peeled, sliced. There's a lot of water involved. So anything that can help us reduce the consumption, recycle the water, reclaim some of the water and clean it, and then kind of bring it back cleaner back to the environment. So that will be on the sustainability side. On the people side, that's a great topic, actually, because it feels like some of the ways we operate, or many manufacturers operate, are still the same, and we're not disrupted from the people's element. So we're looking for anything that will help us kind of leapfrog and digitize the experience for our frontline employees. So anything from what we call moving to paperless factory, right? Reducing, optimizing some of the forms and the daily processes, and streamlining them as much as we can. Smart and digital manufacturing, so data informed. How can we capture data, get insights, and then push that into kind of a cycle of optimization, optimizing daily tasks, orchestrating the different platforms that are used in the manufacturing floor, and then learning and development, right? We see a generational change. And as new employees come in, they don't have the experience some of our more kind of, you know, the other employees have, but also they have a different expectation to how they want to be trained and onboarded. So how can we bring more advanced learning and development systems? How can we proactively kind of troubleshoot some of the challenges that are coming for frontline employees? And then how can we upskill them quicker? How can we keep them safe? Right. So a lot of those challenges.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's good to end on the human element, because, again, most critical part. And we are watching a lot of great innovation, you know, could broadly define it in the HR OT bucket in some regards and fashion, training, compliance, safety. But there's a lot of work still to be done there. I think big opportunity. I know Iron Spring Ventures will be hunting in 2024 as well. So great, great trends. And folks, you heard it here. It's, the submission gates are opening. So you got, what'd you say, Anna, a couple months for the process to start running, just to make sure I got that right?
Yes. And I will make sure everything's posted on the website. Maybe not today, but we'll post everything on the website. And it's fairly easy to get us. I think we know most VCs, so you can either email us directly, ask your VC to email us. You can find us at conferences, because we go anywhere. You can email us, so, you know, kind of, or apply to the website, which is probably the easiest.
Absolutely. Well, maybe I'll use this as a setup into the next question, because you are, I think, regardless of this podcast or not, about to get flooded. So let's talk about engaging PepsiCo Labs. And so at some point, we do always bring the show back to the founders. So some words of wisdom that you'd have for them that are thinking about this process of engaging PepsiCo Labs in the coming months or more. So split that advice, maybe some key to success as they set up for these discussions, and then maybe a common pitfall or challenge for them to avoid as they approach you guys.
So I think number one is thinking through the right solution, right? While there's a lot of incredible solutions out there, we are hyper-focused on one specific area at a time, manufacturing right now. So you might have the best marketing solution out there, or HR, or procurement. If I'm not scouting for it right now, it means I don't have the business support. So there is, you know, imagining that's a ball. There's nobody to catch on the other side. There's no business expert. There's no set program and budget to take it and run with it. So I'll basically be sending this into space. So number one is, like, do you have the right solution for what we're looking for right now? And by the way, I might come back and say, and I do that many times, like, amazing solution, I'm adding it to our database, because when we do scout for that next program that will focus on HR marketing, et cetera, I have you on the list, but it might not be relevant right now or actionable right now. So that will be number one. Then number two is, do you have a solution that can support the PepsiCo scale? And many times we're approached by early stage startups and they really have, you know, a great initial product, but it was not yet tested with a large player. PepsiCo is probably not the best place to start a POC when you do not have a mature product. Because like I said, we are expecting to pilot something right today. And if it is successful, we want to scale this tomorrow. And probably one of the worst things that can happen is a successful pilot cannot be cannot meet our scale-up expectations.
Yeah.
So make sure you're not buried under the PepsiCo scale, because we are big, we are demanding. If your company is not ready, just wait.
Yeah, I think it's great advice, and you guys will be the right steward. And I think probably taking some feedback loops from you of when's the right time to engage is probably helpful for everyone, because there are examples of engaging large corporates too early and distracting from of these earlier stage startups, to say the least. But we need more allies like you, Anna, that's helping navigate these big organizations. So
and we're very transparent. We help. So we will say, you know, we will talk to a startup, we'll go back to our experts, we will say, you know what, this is what we expect from a tech stack, from an ability to integrate, from, you know, just sheer numbers, right? So how much of scale up or how will scale up look like? And we will communicate that back so you'll be able to assess. And by the way, never overpromise, right? I also think that entrepreneurs are very optimistic by nature, and they tend to say, yes, we can solve everything if we just, you know, throw enough money and bodies at it. Don't overpromise, right? Overpromising, because when you look at the reality of execution, there are always delays, right? So if you overpromise, but then on the other hand, we always expect things to go wrong at a pilot stage, at a scaled phase, they are never smooth sailing. So yeah. Just make sure that you don't overcommit.
The transparency is refreshing, because, you know, we don't need to use this dreaded word pilot purgatory. I think all of our founders run in 18 to 24 months of cash. You know, isn't helpful to anyone. So having that transparency is great out the gate. Well, finally here, we always wrap the show up a little section, a Q&A of quick hitters. So if you're ready, Anna, we'll jump in.
Yeah.
All right. What is the number one thing you're looking for when you're evaluating a founder who's approaching you for one of your lab cohorts?
On top of everything kind of said, right? So fit of solution, maturity of solution, I would also look at the partnership mindset, right? Because what we are trying to move away from is that kind of vendor customer relationship, because we know with startups, it works differently. So we are willing as PepsiCo to lean in, as even as PepsiCo Labs, or we bring our experts on board, we lean in. We are ready to pivot. So the founder needs to come with that partnership mindset as well of, you know what, be transparent, put everything on the table, don't hide failures. We want to help you. We have the same goal, right? So we share the same kind of challenges. We share the same goal. This will only be successful if we all lose together or win together.
Right on. Partnership it is. What's one resource, book, podcast, blog, whatever you'd recommend our audience to follow in this ecosystem?
So I was thinking about it yesterday. Can I give an example not from the ecosystem? It's actually a book I'm very looking forward to.
Yes,
it should be
please.
Released at the end of the month. It is written by James Keyes, and it talks about education. It's called Education is Freedom. It talks about kind of I haven't read it, so I'm hoping it will talk about how education can really kind of help us navigate this world we're living in right now, because I think being able to think critically and not take everything for granted, or not being that whatever somebody told you is the absolute truth, right? So educating ourselves about complex situations, because this world is not simple and there's no one single kind of truth, right? So how can that really save the world? Because I think there's a lot of processes that we are witnessing in the last years that are alarming.
Absolutely. I'll check it out, and I'll give a double down on that one. I do a lot of work with the Alliance for Decision Education, trying to teach our youth how to make decisions more appropriately, with Daniel Kahneman, you know, the author of Thinking Fast and Slow, and then Annie Duke, the professional poker player. Life is not black and white. There's a lot of gray, and you have to think critically. So I will read your book, Anna. Let's do it.
Perfect.
One person who should be on the podcast.
So I was thinking about that yesterday as well. I want to say, I was like trying to think about people, and then it hit me, like, eventually it is David Schwartz, who's my kind of partner in crime and co-founder of PepsiCo Labs, with the risk of hearing some of the things I said about the PepsiCo Labs model again. I just think that in terms of kind of, he has a great perspective on everything innovation. He has such a great kind of positive mindset and kind of dream big mentality that is so great to hear and so inspiring. So I would definitely recommend David.
All right. We'll let some of this manufacturing cohort get baked and then we'll have more fresh content and that'd be great. And then finally, and at the sake of what's about hopefully to come your way, what's the best way for folks to reach out to you after the show?
So I know I'm going to shoot myself in the foot here, but I would say so let's divide that into everything that is communications related. If it's not startup, if it is conferences or kind of different stages, I would work through PepsiCo comms. For anything that is manufacturing program related, either reach out to my email and then you will need to give me some time to respond because I assume that it just takes me some time to handle the emails, or directly to our website. I will make sure that it's up and running and ready with the admission page for the manufacturing program specifically.
Excellent. Well, whether it was last year talking a lot about procurement, this year manufacturing, big industrial supply chain underneath PepsiCo, to say the least, to have an ally like you and Labs to help us navigate and to just continue to press this ecosystem forward. It's too important to not get right this digital industrial curve. So I'm excited to partner up, Anna. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me. And did I say it's PepsiCoLabs.com? It's PepsiCoLabs.com.
There we go. And I'll make sure I link that in the show notes as well. Thanks, Anna.
Perfect. Thank you.